Matthew chapter 27. Guys, I'm ringing, so there we go. Matthew chapter 27, as most of you know, is the crucifixion chapter. I want you to look there with me this morning, just a couple, three verses as we... I want to preach a message on when the dead come back to life. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 52. The Bible said, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Notice in that verse there, we did not read all of the passage, but here we have the crucifixion. In the preceding verses, we have where the Lord Jesus has been brought up to a hill called Calvary. He has been laying on that cross, and he has been nailed in anger. He's been lifted up, and now he cries from the cross, seven different cries. Then the Bible tells us in verse number 50, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And once the Lord cried that last time, the Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top down to the bottom. Weighing some 400 pounds, taking two teams of oxen to hoist into place, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the sinful man. That day, the veil of the temple was rent in two, torn by the omnipotent hands of God, and by signifying now we have free access into the throne room of the Lord. But an interesting occurrence took place, for the Bible said that when the earthquake hit that day, as you read those preceding verses, there was a tremendous earthquake that shook when Jesus died. When that earthquake hit around Jerusalem, the Bible says that the graves or the tombs were opened. The stones of those other tombs were rolled away. And there that tomb lay open for those that would gaze upon it. But those that were dead were still in the grave. And if you'll notice how the Bible reads here, they were in the grave until Jesus was resurrected. And I want to preach to you on just a little while this morning on this thought, on which resurrection will you be in? May we pray. Father, we thank you for the good message and song. Thank you, Lord, for the touch of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you'd unctionize us today. We ask, Heavenly Father, that there'd stand nothing between us and thee. And I pray, God, that you'd bind every evil force, every demonic power of hell. And God, that you might grant victory and freedom to those today that are listening to my voice. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. And for his sake we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. There seems to be a growing fascination with the dead coming back to life. You see it in our TV programs. You see it on the video games today. Many times, however, my friend, that those that are portrayed on the television programs and the video games, when the dead begin to walk again, they have gotten out of their graves and they come back seemingly to terrorize mankind. And that's not the case when it comes to the Bible. Here we find the Bible records that the graves were open and the dead still in the graves came back to life one day. This was, beloved, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate that. Today we celebrate the day of the resurrection of Christ. Christianity is unlike any other religion on the face of this earth. It is unlike any other denomination because, beloved, we have a risen Savior. We have one today that is alive forevermore. Unlike Islam, unlike Buddhism, unlike Hinduism, unlike Jehovah Witnesses, Mormonism, their founders, their bodies are laying in a grave decomposing somewhere. But for the child of God, our Savior, our founder, our King, he is alive forevermore. He got up out of the grave. His body is not decomposing somewhere. If you go to that tomb today, my friend, you'll find it empty. as the angels of old said, come see the place where the Lord lay. My friend, today it is a proven fact that Jesus arose from the dead. You may say, preacher, how do you know that he's alive today? Well, first of all, our Bible says he is alive. If it were not so, my friend, we might as well chunk it right now, go home and sit down, drink another pot of coffee. But thank God the Bible says that he is living. Now, I choose to believe the word of God today, that the Bible is inspired word of the living God. But then also, I know that he's alive today because the angels testified of it. They said to those women that early Sunday morning, come see the place where the Lord lay. Those angels on Acts chapter 1 verse 11, as Jesus was taken back up into heaven, said unto those men of Galilee, why you stand here gazing up into heavens? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Then third of all, the apostles saw him. They, my friend, testified of the fact of Jesus was alive. He walked on the Emmaus Road with two of his disciples. Those, my friend, the Bible says he was seen of many, some 500 brethren, after the 40 days that he was resurrected. The women at the tomb saw him in his glorified body. That morning, that Easter morning, those women came to the tomb and they went to try to touch him. But Jesus said, touch me not. But then that same evening, that Sunday evening when he appeared to his disciples, when he said to Thomas a week later, touch me and see that these are not the nails in my prints in my hands. Thrust your hand in my side. You say, what made the difference that Sunday morning when the women came and Jesus said, touch me not? And then to Thomas he said, touch me, for he said, a spirit hath not flesh and blood. What made the difference? I'll tell you, beloved, is that when the Lord rose from the dead, he had not yet ascended unto his Father to make an atonement for your sins and my sins. But thank God that he went into the heavenlies, into the Holy of Holies. He went behind that veil. He offered his blood a sacrifice for the sins of you and for me. And thank God, he, my friend, is the spotless, sinless Lamb of God today. But you say, preacher, how do you know he's alive? History itself records that. We have in our time calendar, before Jesus was born, or before BC, before Christ, and then that day of Calvary changed the course of history, and now we have Anno Domini, which is after his death. And beloved, even our time today, 2016 AD, after 2016 years after the death of Jesus. Then you say, how do you know that he's alive? I know he's alive today because he's in my heart to stay. If you know that he's in your heart, would you say amen? Amen. We serve a risen Savior today. But do you realize today, beloved, that everyone in this room, everyone that hears this message, everyone that will hear the preaching of this message, one day you'll have a resurrection. Saved and lost, sinner and saint, child of God and atheist, all alike, will have a resurrection. John chapter 5 and verse 29 says, they speak of the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 5 says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. They tell me when you read a newspaper article, and newspapers are just about a thing of the past, but anytime that you read a newspaper article, you pick that article up, and there's a headline at the top of that article, and the first paragraph of that newspaper article will answer the questions of who, what, when, where, and how. The rest of the newspaper article explains each one of those in detail. I want this morning to take each one of those, and I want to preach to you on this subject and on this thought, which resurrection will you be a part of? Number one, notice the purpose of the resurrection. Why? Why did Jesus rise? Why didn't he stay dead? Well, to answer that question, we have to go back to the fact that he did die. The Bible records it here in Matthew's Gospel. The answer to this question is, why did he die? And the answer to that, my friend, goes all the way back in the very beginning of your Bible when you open the Word of God in the book of Genesis, and somewhere around chapter number 3 and verse number 15, you'll find a promise of a Redeemer. Prior to that, you know the story of Adam and Eve, and by the way, I do believe that we all were created in the image and likeness of God. We did not evolve from some lower form of animal, although sometimes when you look at those in the White House, you begin to wonder, say amen right there. But my friend, what we are today, we are created in the image and the likeness of God. That means this. That day in which God created man and created woman, that day that he breathed life into the nostrils of man, we were created in his image. That means that God in heaven is not some grotesque Star Wars figure. He is, my friend. I do believe this, Brother Jimmy, that we are in his image. When we get to heaven, we will have a resemblance of him. In other words, a shape, a form of a man. He's not some Star Trek, some five-eyed and seven-head monster sitting up in heaven. No, sir, my friend, I believe that we are created in his image. Can I get an amen? Amen. That means this, beloved. If we are created in his image, we were placed in a perfect environment. Somebody said, Brother Steve, where in the world would we be without women? And another wise person said, we would be back in the garden. Say amen. The truth of the matter is, we are all sinners born into sin. Every last one of us in here, we were born into sin. You say, preacher, I came up in a good home. I came up in a good church. Doesn't matter what kind of heritage you have. You were born lost and condemned without God. Sinners deserving devil's hell. Sinners deserving to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Sinners deserving to be in the abyss forever and ever and ever. But God, in his infinite mercy, in his infinite grace, in his infinite goodness, looked down the corridors of time and saw that the only means of salvation was for his son to go to Calvary and die in your place, in my place, his blood be shed for you. That's the only way. Hear me out. That's the only way. Baptism will not get you there. Church membership will not get you there. Doing good deeds will not get you there. Putting money in a plate will not get you there. Only the blood of Jesus will get you there. Thank God for the testimony of little Mikey, but Mikey got saved the same way his daddy got saved. Eric got saved the same way that I got saved. By the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not according to our heritage, not according to our birthright. It's not according to our family tradition. It's according to the precious blood of Jesus that we're saved. We're all sinners saved by grace. As you say, go back to this question then. The purpose of the resurrection, preacher. The purpose of the resurrection is this, my friend. It guaranteed our salvation. Listen to me, hear me out, folk. If Jesus had stayed in that grave, if he had not gotten up the third day, the Bible would have been false and the prophets would have been false teachers. But because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I had that promise. And the purpose was for my justification. He arose to declare an all guilty, hell-bound sinner to be righteous in the sight of God. I deserved hell, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus himself foretold of his resurrection. He told his disciples one day, he said, for as, listen to me now, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Oh, listen, my friend, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have been a liar. Oh, but he arose victorious. He arose today. You say, why did he arise? So that you and I could have life eternal. Second of all, the program of his resurrection. When's all this going to take place? Glad you asked me. Let me illustrate it this way. When a person dies today, their soul either goes to one of two places. Their soul either goes to heaven or their soul goes to hell. If you believe that, say amen. When we have a funeral, that person's body may still be here, but their soul has long been departed. I believe this, when that heart stops beating, when you take that last breath of air, when them doctors pronounce you dead, honey, there's no second chance. There's no coming back. Either you have, Brother Jimmy, either we have been saved. You know, I've talked to people, I'm sure you have. And I've seen people, they'll say this to me. Preacher, I know, I believe all that Bible. I believe everything, but not today. I'm going to wait. I said, why do you want to wait? You're taking your eternal soul in your hands. You're taking a pair of dice and you're throwing them. You're risking your eternal destiny. There'll not always be another opportunity. It can happen just like that. Some of you in the rescue business, some of you in the fire department, some of you in the medical profession, you know what I'm saying. It could happen just like that. Why risk it? When a person dies, hear me out now, their soul either goes to heaven or their soul goes to hell. No coming back. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. There's not paying enough money to get you out of hell. My friend, listen. What you have done with Jesus while you are here, what you have done with Jesus while you've got your brains and your good sense, what you've done with Jesus before dementia sets in, before old age sets in, before sickness sets in, will determine where you spend eternity. So we have the program of his resurrection. So let me illustrate it this way. Here we are today, 2016, March the 27th, right? One of these days, I do believe it won't be long before the trumpet sound will blast. And I believe this, my friend, according to this blessed old book, there's coming a day when the skies are going to part. There's coming a day when the saints of God that have already been planted in this earth their bodies are going to come out. Listen, hear me out. For the voice of the Lord will come and say, get up! And those that have died in Jesus, all those in the cemetery that are saved, will hear his voice. They'll come up out of the grave. But now listen, if they're not saved, they're not coming up just then. Do you hear what I just said? If they're not saved, they're not coming up just then. No, sir, my friend. If they're lost without Jesus, their body is still going to be in the grave. Their soul is in hell. Their body's in the grave. For the child of God, when the rapture takes place, we're out of here. Hallelujah. So let's look at something here. Talking about this program of the resurrection. I told you everybody in here is going to have a resurrection. So you say, now, preacher, when's that going to take place? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20 for a second. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, quickly now. We'll be going in just a minute. Look what the Bible said. Revelation 20, verse 11. After the rapture, after the 7 years of tribulation, after the millennial kingdom of God, you see that man that died without Jesus Christ, his body is still down in the grave. His soul is down in hell. We that are saved at the moment of the resurrection, at the moment of the rapture, we'll get a glorified body. A body that knows no sickness, a body that knows no pain, a body that knows no hurt, no sorrow, no party, no body that doesn't have to take medicine or take injections or chemotherapy, no strokes. No heartaches. a body likened unto the Lord Jesus at the rapture. Y'all do believe that? Not the lost man, the saved man. Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to those things. And the Bible says, I misquoted. Notice, and I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And notice, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were all judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I believe this, my friend, that there's coming a day that everybody that has died since Adam, if they have not trusted Christ as their Savior, one day they'll stand before a holy and a just and a righteous God, and the books are going to be opened. I believe there are two books in heaven. There is a book of life, and then there's the Lamb's book of life. I believe the book of life records everybody that has ever been birthed into this world, whether they be an aborted fetus or whether they be an old man or whatever, everybody that has ever lived will be in the book of life. But then there's the Lamb's book of life. You see, the day that I got saved, God put my name in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah to God. But those that are in the book of life that have never been saved, one day they'll stand before God, the books will be opened, their name is not recorded in the Lamb's book of life, and that day they'll stand before God Almighty, not clothed in any kind of suit, not clothed in any kind of garment, they'll stand there naked before God, nothing to hide behind. And the judge of all the universe will look down and he'll say, I find no record of your second birth. I got a record of your first birth. You were born June the 3rd of 1960. I don't find a record of your second birth. Angels come and bind him hand and foot and cast him into the lake of fire. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. You just left me on something. Didn't you just tell me a few minutes ago they were in hell? Yes, sir, I did. Now, in hell and lake of fire, the same place? No, sir. No, sir. Our dear brother right here worked for years for the sheriff's department. He worked in he was the jailer, were you not? The bailiff. Now, when somebody comes before the judge, and the judge looks at them and said, Arnie, you got 30 days in jail. You were the man that escorted them out of the courtroom, were you not? And they were taken down to the Randolph County Jail, and there's where they spent their time. But then, if perchance it was a homicide case or a severe case that required superior court, they would spend their time in jail. Now, they're still incarcerated. Am I not right?